Okay, so good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to today's pre-market trade plan session, which is your opportunity to be as prepared as you can for today's trading opportunities. Now, of course, we've got a major market moving event, which this market has been trying to price in over the last couple of weeks, and a lot of news events over the course of last week specifically was likely to impact potential future decision-making for the Fed. And then when you add in the political uncertainty and the fact that in the polls, the outcome of the presidential election is very much unknown and very much uncertain. And we're seeing that uncertainty play out in these financial markets with probably an outsized reaction on Friday, if those of you that were tracking those markets on Friday evening. And then we've seen a series of gaps over the weekend. We've also had a bit of an update from OPEC as well regarding the oil markets. So an awful lot of volatility and a distinct lack of clarity really going into a very important few days for these financial markets. These are very significant structural news events. US presidency, we'll see what sort of presidency we get over the next 4 years. A Trump presidency, according to the markets, tend to be a little bit more higher risk, higher tariff, a broader, stronger dollar type narrative. Whereas a Harris administration would be probably status quo. We'd probably see lower rates from the Fed. We'd probably actually see over time a weaker dollar because of that. So there's clearly defined narratives which we can focus our attention on. The problem we have now is we have this, certainly as far as the US election is concerned, there's no clear winner currently. In fact, Harris has just, I think, taken a little bit of the lead going into the polls a day out from election day. So yeah, so to say that there is an awful lot for these markets to digest, we've got people like Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, sitting on the sidelines again, selling more Apple shares, you know, saying, you know, these markets are just far too expensive. And that's going to set the tone really as well for many other major investors of these markets. Okay, so sometimes we have backdrops and dynamics which aren't particularly clear, and this is just one of those periods of time. So do bear that in mind with your decision making, with your approach in terms of upside expectations. You know, be realistic with what you're looking to try to achieve. And we weren't particularly active last week. In fact, I think we only executed one trade over the course of last week, but we've had an awful lot of news. So let's break that down for you. Obviously, see our risk warning currently up on screen. Now, all profitable traders need to consider which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? How do we manage risk, trade management, and trade psychology? Now, markets are always likely to react in a variety of different ways, especially during times like these. But it's down to us to, try to act in a very kind of disciplined manner. And trade psychology is a really interesting one, because certainly Friday evening suggested that there's a lot of fear and anxiety. Maybe we're heading towards a Trump win. A lot of that fear and anxiety has probably just come out of the markets a little bit overnight. And we're now tipping a little bit towards Kamala Harris. So I'm sure this whole dynamic has a bit to go before we get any clarity on that. And then we might see markets begin to normalize again. We address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, of course, and we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient. So let's start. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning's session. Now let's just have a quick look back at last week's news events. Because those of you that were trading with us, there was a lot of up and down last week. So we had some news events around the same sort of time. First of all, a bit of difficulty for the Japanese economy politically with a snap election called in the lower house for the government, and they didn't win the election. So there's a lot of political turmoil yet to be overseen. And the problem with that is it's the impact that it has on the Bank of Japan. So central banks do want to have a stable, I suppose, political dynamic. And I'm sure you could look at the US and say, well, that's far from stable. And we kind of would agree, but it's the makeup of the House and the Senate. And if that is all Republican, then they'll get things through a lot quicker. And if it's all Democratic, the Democrat Party wins by a bit of a sweep, they call it the blue or the red sweep, then they'll be able to get things a lot through a lot, and they'll be able to impose their politics and their economics on the economy, which was probably a little bit more bad news for the central banks and global financial markets. However, if that dynamic is, if there's a narrow victory for the government in the House, but you know they lose the Senate and vice versa, depending who gets in, if you get that sort of tight political dynamic, the financial markets are a little bit more relaxed, because you know it's going to be very difficult for any particular side to make any meaningful change, because there'll always be opposition, and it'd be very difficult to get things through. So it's kind of a more of a gridlock dynamic. So just very quickly then, Tuesday afternoon, we had a really strong consumer confidence figure and a really weak job openings number. So some positivity, some negativity there. We're seeing in areas across Europe, we're seeing inflation just tick a little bit higher, previously 1.5. This is the Spanish economy coming in at 1.8. The German economy is in here as well. Prelim CPI, previously 0, coming in 0.4. So again, these little pockets have just increased inflation. Now, Wednesday afternoon, we had really positive, extremely positive ADP numbers and weaker than expected GDP. So a little bit up, a little bit down. Then we had the BOJ hold at less than 0.25, which is no major surprise there with that political background that we were speaking about. And then Thursday, we had, again, unemployment claims coming in much, much lower than expected, which is significant, because a lot of the reason for the non-farm payroll lower numbers was because of this the hurricane and natural disasters in the US. But we were expecting that to play out in the unemployment claims, and it actually didn't. So again, a lot of surprising elements. And core PCE price index coming in above previous, which is in line with expectations. But again, a little bit of really good news to the economy, and I suppose a worrying aspect with increasing inflation. Then that brings us into the all important Friday, which is a really volatile trading day. We saw really sizable moves in the dollar, but there's wild swings in there as well. So really, really choppy market dynamics. And we'll start with the headline number. We're expecting 106,000 jobs to be added. We saw 12,000 jobs added. So again, like if you compare and contrast, the previous number was 223, which was lowered. So we had an outsized upside move in non-farm payroll numbers last month for September. And then for October, I suppose the natural disasters in the US played, we understand, a very significant role in this number coming in much, much weaker. And as a result, we saw markets react really with a more of a risk-off market dynamic. Let's look at that price action now in just a second. So we had a strong risk-off, and then we obviously had a rally as well in the bond yields. So it's an important piece to the jigsaw, bond yields. So we saw Friday evening this rally, risks rallying, equities selling off, along with a strengthening dollar. And we've seen a little bit of an unwind in that trade. Even, you know, we've got we got a rollover off the high. We're now down at 4.31, where the highs are 4.36. So slight softening, a little bit of softening as well in the 2-year. We did get up as high as 420, didn't we? Let me just zoom in a little bit more. Yeah, we were up at 420, a little bit of softening. The overall direction is still very much higher. But bond yields on Friday were kind of supporting that risk-off trade. And now there seems to be a very, very mild unwinding. So that's just a little bit of a detailed breakdown of kind of news dynamic. If you're looking for clarity, you're dealing with very, very difficult markets at the minute. So really unlikely to have any. And that's the market's prerogative. So today, nothing of any major concern. So bank holiday, we got that. We don't have that daylight saving time shift dynamic this week, like we did last week with all these news events out, you know, an hour earlier. So we're back to normal, which is good. We did get the RBA this week as well. Very much expected to just hold rates. And then Tuesday is all about the election, I'm sure. Really difficult one to call. I don't think the experts can call it. So we'll have no chance of being able to come down on one side or the other. So we need to see how that news event plays out. And then we'll also have the Bank of England just prior to for the FOMC. So we're expecting a 25 basis point cut there, and the Fed looking at another 25 basis points. So a steady lowering of interest rates this month. In most jurisdictions, the RBA pausing, the BOJ pausing as well. So if you compare and contrast the number of cuts in the previous round of meetings with 50 out of the US alone, you can see now that this month, or let's say this round of meetings, there's a little bit more conservative decision-making, perhaps across the board. Now, and then Thursday, we round off the week with FOMC. So it's the US election, and the FOMC is what these markets are really, really concerned about. So what have we seen on the price action front? So if we look at the S&P 500, this is on an hourly time frame. So we are broadly still really quite bearish these markets, and that hasn't really changed. The Nasdaq is really quite a choppy up and down. We're only back down to previous lows, and so our bias is still, you can see how close we were to hitting profit there on Friday night. We were only a few pips away, but gapped significantly lower and actually looked a little bit weaker. Now, it still might be a bit premature to be making a strong decision. You can see the price action in the pound dollar is quite a good example. It's this is the type of market we're dealing with, which is very erratic and very choppy. Look at the price action here on the euro dollar. So Friday, really, I mean, we spent most of the day rallying, as you probably know, in the euro dollar before Friday evening it started to roll over really aggressively. And then you'd expect this market to continue lower, but not with this election backdrop. So a really challenging dynamic for these markets. And as a result, we kind of want to keep our options open and be able to look for buy trades, sell trades, whatever opportunity gives us the best possible outcome. We're not saying necessarily by any stretch that it's game over for the dollar, far from it. And if Donald Trump seems to edge in the polls, we'll probably see the dollar rally again. If Harris wins in the polls, we'll probably see the dollar weaken. And I don't know, perhaps 50-50 is probably where we're at. So just bear that in mind with perhaps your decision-making. There's still every potential for the dollar to strengthen, so we're not abandoning that dollar strength trade just yet. We are trading around strong levels of support resistance in the dollar, but yeah, we've just got a really challenging dynamic at the moment, so it's quite difficult to come down on one side or the other. The Euro-Yen, we're in a five-day little sideways pattern. It's a little bit more volatile for the pound. So this was the last week's, which we didn't really discuss in detail, but the UK budget was turned into a strong sort of weakness, really, for the pound in most markets. But as you can see, that weakness didn't really sort of stick for any significant period. So a bit of a nothing dynamic. Our bias, right, so over the weekend, we had a decision from OPEC due to that they were likely to delay output hikes. So they were going to increase supply, which is a bit of a strange decision to make potentially over the last couple of months, that there was this rumor they were going to push more oil onto the markets, and they decided to delay that output hike now, which has caused, which was looking really quite bearish on Friday evening. Sorry there, guys. I think I just got cut off briefly. I do apologize. Okay, so you're absolutely right, Cornelius. We were, yeah, sorry about the audio there. Just disconnected briefly. But yeah, after looking so bearish on Friday, yeah, we had the dollar really rally quite aggressively. And you know, people are saying it's kind of an interpretation of the non-farm payroll numbers that came in much, much weaker. And you compare and contrast that with conflict around the election itself. And bear with me there 1 second, guys. Apologies. Okay, apologies for that little interruption there. Yeah, so I mean, actually, Cornelius, quite an outsized dynamic, really, and outsized moves. Yes, we got much, much weaker job numbers, and we did see a bit of a risk-off rally in the end, although there was some significant volatility prior to that rally. Sort of a tough spot. Nothing has really changed regarding the dollar. We're still relatively bullish the dollar for now, but it is going to largely depend on that binary decision as to whether Trump or Harris get in. And I think, according to the polls, I think Harris has just taken a very, very small lead in that dynamic. So yeah, it's important for us to just ride this particular period of uncertainty. And that's pretty much where we're at. Every potential for these markets to both rally and sell off very aggressively. So I suppose with the election tomorrow. So on Friday, we're kind of looking for that dollar strength trade. And we got there in the end, but we did have to sit through an awful lot of volatility. And we're pretty much in the same boat really today. Bit of an outsized reaction on Friday. A bit of a return to, I suppose, normal prices again today. Okay, so let's build a kind of a cautionary trade plan for the day. We're not overly risk off necessarily, and I suppose just keeping options open is really the main. If you get a good opportunity like crude oil on Friday, we were able to pull the trigger on that one and made some progress. Now, we were quite willing to hold it over the weekend before OPEC made a statement. Mixed conditions due to positive corporate earnings but negative market reaction. Yeah, that was a lot of the big five last week, which was very much around that particular dynamic due to and consequences for FOMC. So it's like one before the other. So election time, who's likely to be in power and what impact will that have on the FOMC and the Fed? So do we have anything? So we did get that strong pullback around that $71. So we're able to get into that trade. Yen weakness. So I think we're just wanting to keep all options open. Sometimes with a backdrop like we currently have, keeping it very, very simple, calling it as it is, allows us to, you know, this is not the time for kind of losing your head as a trader. It's very much a time. There's so much uncertainty out there. I'd like to be able to call it. We're not able to. The markets are not able to. So let's just agree that that's the overall dynamic. So unless we get a little bit of clarity one way or the other, we're let's just say we're conservative with decision making, really, I think, for very, very good reason. Okay, so that's our trade plan. So on that note, thanks very much for joining us. Did I post it into the chat box? I think I did. Let's do that now. So look, we'll let you go. Oh, I did, yeah. Okay. So on that note, thanks very much for joining us, guys. We'll let you go. We'll switch, of course, to our Trading the European Open live mentorship rooms. If you want to join us for that, we'll see if we can cherry pick some opportunities. We're going to get a lot of analysis. We're going to see really if there is a decent trade to get into. And we look at these charts in a little bit more detail. So Friday night was definitely this risk off dynamic, but it didn't last for too long. So we seem to be reverting back to meandering price action again. All right. On that note, my pleasure, guys. As always, take care of yourselves. And we look forward to seeing you next time. For everyone here, bye for now.